Coming up on Golf Today, guess who's back? Back again. Scotty's back. Tell a friend. World number one makes his season debut at Pebble. Expecting rust or more dominance? And another number one makes her season debut in Orlando. Nelly Korda carried the LPGA on her shoulders in 2024. Can she do it again? And Gary Woodland returns to the site of his biggest achievement in golf, bringing a wealth of perspective to Pebble. A conversation with the 2019 U.S. Open champion is upcoming on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
It is a huge week across golf as the PGA Tour has arrived at Pebble Beach for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am while the LPGA season gets underway in the city beautiful Orlando, Florida this week at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions. And hey, you got Golf Today on a Tuesday. Damon Hack alongside Amy Lynch. I can make an argument this is the best week professional golf has seen in months on end. Scotty's back. Nelly's back. Jordan Spieth is back. Yet Tiger and Rory and Tom Kim in a simulator laughing it up last night. I think it's as good as it's been after months of doom and gloom.
It is a big week all around. The LPGA Tour kicking off its 75th season with a lot of uncertainty outside the ropes, but certainly a lot of anticipation for what's coming inside the ropes and whether Nelly Korda can double down on what she did last year. And it's all icons all the time out west, not least the golf course that they're playing this week as well. Obviously Pebble Beach, but Scotty back, as you said, and it's going to be interesting to see if it really is a continuation of what we saw out of Scotty last year, because we haven't seen very much of him. Obviously, the injury while preparing Christmas dinner cost him a couple of starts, but the Hero World Challenge in early December is the only time we've seen Scotty Scheffler since last September 1st, 149 days ago.
You look optimistic and excited, are you?
I'm always optimistic when there's a great golf course that we're going to see. And you could argue we're going to see two of them this week, Spyglass Hill and Pebble Beach.
As a native of California, I will not argue with those points. The West Coast swing does continue this week at gorgeous Pebble Beach Golf Links. You can catch live first-round coverage of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Golf Channel. And, yes, it marks the return of the world number one, Scotty Scheffler, after injuring that hand on Christmas Day. So a later season debut than is typical. His last official start, as Eamon just mentioned, was the Tour Championship. He also won that Hero World Challenge in early December. That, of course, an unofficial event. Should we look back to 2024? Seven PGA Tour victories, the first on tour with seven or more wins in a season since Tiger, FedEx Cup, gold medal at the 2024 Paris Olympics, 18 top 10 finishes in 21 starts. For more on Scotty, we welcome in Todd Lewis from Pebble. Todd, what's the latest with the world number one's health?
Well, Scotty Scheffler is on property here. He actually arrived at Pebble Beach on Sunday evening, came out Monday, worked on his game, and he's going to have an intense workout today in regards to getting to know this golf course a little better and testing that right hand. He's going to play a full 18 holes here at Pebble Beach. As a matter of fact, he's about to tee off. He did go through his warm-up session this morning, and I was watching him. I noticed a couple of things. Number one, he does not have a bandage or a wrap on that punctured right hand that he seems to be now completely behind him, and he was hitting some balls without any limitations, it seemed like. The second thing I noticed is that the Scotty Scheffler that we saw last year, if his warm-up was any indication, is still the same Scotty Scheffler. He hit the center of the club a lot during his warm-up session, and we'll see how his game is as he goes out and again plays that full 18-hole practice round today here at Pebble Beach. He'll be playing alongside his good friend Sam Burns. Now, Scotty Scheffler is just playing Pebble Beach for the second time in his career. Last year was the first time he played here at Pebble, and he had a good finish. He finished top 10, tied for six. So he likes this golf course, but he traditionally hasn't played very well on the West Coast. He really gets some momentum when he gets to Florida and he starts building that momentum and that rhythm through the season. So it'll be interesting to see how Scotty Scheffler plays here after that injury. One other interesting note is the fact that he has the same equipment that he had in 2024. Of course, his manufacturer would like to have the newest stuff in his bag, but given the fact that he's had that lengthy layoff and he just started hitting golf balls with a full swing just last week, he's going to stick with the equipment he had in 2024, which he had great success with, winning 9 times worldwide.
Todd, that covers the world number one. The world number two is also on the DL at the moment. We saw Xander Schauffele at the Century in middle of the pack finish. We haven't seen him since. He's not in the field this week. What's the latest on his health?
Well, let's talk about what happened late last year. Xander started having some pain in his right rib area. It's a soft tissue issue. The intercostal muscle was what the diagnosis was. He did an MRI recently and had shown no structural damage, no bone issue. He hasn't played the last 3 events. He pulled out of those events. He did play the Century, correct. He tried to fight through that injury, but he just did not have the proper form. So he's had some rest and rehab to let that right soft tissue area heal. And the doctors this week have given him the okay. So he is going to hit some full shots, get geared up, try to get tour ready once again. There's a minor chance, and I mean very minor, that he could play next week at the WM Phoenix Open. But right now he is targeting coming back for the Genesis, which is now going to be in his hometown of San Diego at Torrey Pines. He's never won there. He would love to win that event. But right now he is targeting that event, and we will see if that is going to continue to bother him as he moves through 2025. It has been frustrating for him. I had a chance to text with him, but he is excited to get back, to get his game ready and his body ready for PGA Tour competition once again, which again looks like it will be in 2 weeks.
Todd Lewis with the latest news from Pebble Beach, including that the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, about to play 18 holes in his pro-am. And how about the world number one, Amy? When you think about this season, you know, you're coming off of an injury. There are already question marks on how you back up a 9-win season around the world. That's hard enough as it is. Now you throw injury into the equation. Any concern at all that maybe this season gets off to a bit of a slow start?
No. If it was anyone else, you might actually have some concerns, but Scottie Scheffler, his greatest attribute may actually be tuning out the noise. He doesn't concern himself with anything outside of the ropes. He's not involved in tour politics. He's not doing TGL. All of the theatrics around the game are just noise, but they're not noise for Scottie Scheffler, which is, I think, a good part of the reason why he's been as dominant as he has the last couple of years. And I don't think the injury was hugely significant. You know, we've all cut ourselves cooking food with those who cook. That probably doesn't include me. But I don't think it was a particularly significant injury, and he's given it the time that it needs to heal. The question is, can he back up a season as he had last year? Well, that's a high bar to set for anyone, injured or not. But it would be a foolish man who's going to bet against him. But to me, the most interesting part of where Scotty fits into the game now is part of this new ownership structure of the tour. Because, he won the Hero, an unofficial event in December, and he had a couple of intended starts that he couldn't make because of the hand injury. But otherwise, it's been 149 days since we've seen him. Do you think that sits well with the new owners of the PGA Tour? Is that there's your world number one who's on the couch for a few months? And Xander obviously has had some injuries on and off as well. Xander played the Zozo at the end of last year and the Century at the start of this year. Those are Xander's only 2 starts since the Tour Championship, which ended on September 1st. So there is going to be, whatever the new landscape looks like in the years to come, I do think there's going to be pressure on the top players in the world not to take such an extended break after the Tour Championship and to actually play some part in whatever happens. Perhaps it's outside the United States, but the idea of sitting home for 5 months probably isn't going to sit that well with the new investors.
Yeah, not going to sit well with sponsors or investors for that matter. Obviously, a lot of it out of the control of anyone. Injuries, whether it's a hip for Xander or this freak hand injury for Scottie Scheffler. I mean, who could have pictured any of that coming? One thing we do know about Scottie, he's been able to handle the curveballs of life that are thrown his way, whether it's a cold putter to start 2024 or, you know, warming up in a jail cell in Kentucky ahead of the second major championship of the year. He seems to find a way to put it.
He birdied the first hole out of the jail cell.
He absolutely did. And listen, this is someone who's shown he has a really strong chin and can handle whatever is coming his way. You know, Wayne Gretzky, Tiger Woods are two people that talk about greatness isn't one season or 2 seasons. It's a decade. It's really putting together season upon season, stacking them up, one after the other. That's what Scottie Scheffler is looking for, big picture. It's not a great season or two. This is someone who is, you know, insatiable when it comes to winning. But this is going to be a curveball coming back from this injury. This is something a little bit different, especially when you talk about how important hands are to professional golf.
And he doesn't have a great track record of success in this golf course. He's just played here once, and he was in sixth place when the final round was washed out last year. So that does constitute his best record here. But, you know, again, no one's going to bet against Scottie Scheffler. But he's also not the only top guy superstar with multiple major championships who's making a comeback this week. Jordan Spieth, he's also been out of action since last August following left wrist surgery. And he's slated to play this week up at Pebble Beach as well on a sponsor's exemption because he's not otherwise qualified for signature events right now. Let's take a look back. 2017 edition of the Pro-Am, and this 30-footer for birdie on 17 in the final round was one of the many highlights. Spieth went on to win the final round of 70, his ninth victory on the PGA Tour, which made him the first player since Tiger to have that many wins before turning 24. Things were a lot simpler back then.
Yeah, in 2024, it started out so strong for him. You see that third place finish at the Century, but that was as good as it got last season for the Texas alum. Just three top 10 finishes. Those came early in the season. Eight missed cuts or DQs. And PGA Tour social media asked some players, you know, who's going to have a great season, a bounce back season after 2024? Justin Thomas was posed that question. He said Jordan Spieth and didn't even waste a second to give that answer. We know what Jordan Spieth can do. Height of power, always compelling whether he's playing great golf or poor golf. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Jordan Spieth will be back in the winner's circle sooner rather than later, if only for Justin Thomas's endorsement.
Well, he's going to have to produce something a little better this year than we saw last year. It's quite jarring when you realize he's 77th in the official world golf ranking. Obviously, he's been out of action for several months. A year ago this week, he was 16th. In the world. And the fact that he's playing on the controversial sponsors exemption into signature events is also quite telling, because that's the tightening of pathways even into those events, as there is a tightening of pathways to remain on tour, period. And Jordan Spieth isn't exempt from any of that tightening that's going on right now. And when you compare his numbers in 2024 versus the year before, you can see where the injury impacted him. I mean, in almost every single category that mattered, he showed a significant drop off. But one of the most significant was strokes gained approach, when he said he had a struggle compressing the ball, hitting the iron shots with that sheath issue in his left wrist. And he went from 71st on tour to 138th.
Yeah.
And that was a category that Jordan Spieth was one of the most premier
elite
ball strikers in for so many years. So you got to figure that the confidence is low. The expectations ought to be equally low, which is tough for him here, because he's won here, he's been a runner-up here, he's had six top 10s here and nine top 25s in the 12 starts. So the comfort is there in terms of the venue. The comfort can't really be expected to be there in terms of the swing.
Yeah, how much can he put in time on the range and hit balls? It's a similar injury to one our good buddy Aaron Oberholzer dealt with, and it cost him his playing career. I mean, this is the question mark. Can he hit as many balls as he wants to? What happens when it's in the 50s? You know, Todd Lewis told us there was a frost delay this morning out of the Monterey Peninsula, so it took the player some time even to get going this morning. What happens if he hits the ball behind a tree and has to deal with a tree root, or he hits the ball into some thick rough? Torrey Pines, for example, had 4-inch rough last week in San Diego. So those are the variables, the unknowns that make you concerned. The pedigree is remarkable. The fight, that kind of golden child energy that he brings, that Justin Thomas so freely talks about, those things I believe are intact, but it's the unknowns, the uncontrollables. Another player coming back from injury, you just don't know how much he's going to be able to put in the work required to become a top 10 player in the world again.
And he did make explicit all the way through the process, particularly when he was announcing the time off, that he wasn't going to rush it. And he said that while he was away, that he was going to come back at the right time, because he left it as long as he could. He said he wasn't going to damage the wrist further by continuing to play last year. So he does seem to have a very clear sense of when he needed to go and when was the right time to come back. And you know, I don't think the fact that he's coming back here has anything to do with his long-term commercial relationship with AT&T as a sponsor of the tournament, because he's also committed to play next week in Phoenix. He believes he's ready to play now. And if we know Jordan Spieth, he's playing now because he's building up to April and even the Players' Championship in March.
Hopefully so, because golf can be unforgiving, as can sports. You know, it seems like 5 minutes ago he was forever young. And now, you know, we're talking about the Ludwig Åbergs of the world. He's 31. He'll be 32 this summer.
Wait until he gets to our age. Then he'll know what
pain he's got
and
some problems.
Is all about. Well, our next guest knows a little something about making memories at Pebble Beach as well. He's on a short and very illustrious list of players to win major championships at this great venue. Gary Woodland is stopping by. That's coming up.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
We're back on golf today. A reminder, first round coverage of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am comes your way this Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Golf Channel. One player that's had big success at Pebble, Gary Woodland, won the U.S. Open in 2019. Remember this, Eamon, 14th hole, second shot, 3-wood, final round from 263 uphill.
That was pure muscle right there.
Yeah, and you could hear the roar of the crowd, impressed. Able to reach that green in two, you'd make birdie there. How about the 17th hole, chipping from off the green?
It's the kind of thing that has superintendents the world over gritting their teeth.
I would have left a big old divot and sculled it into the water. He gets up and down. Then the 18th hole for birdie to win, hold off Brooks Koepka, who's trying to win three straight U.S. Opens.
And that was a three-shot victory for Gary Woodland. That was one of four PGA Tour victories, helped him to a career-high world ranking of 12th. He was also on the U.S. President's Cup team, playing for Captain Tiger back in 2019. 55 top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour. And Gary Woodland joins us now from Pebble Beach. Gary, it's great to see you. Given what happened in the 6 years since you were triumphant at Pebble Beach, does it feel as though several lifetimes have passed?
It really has. And I tell you what, coming back here brings back a lot of good vibes, a lot of good energy. There's a couple places in the world that you get goosebumps probably coming in. St. Andrews is one, Augusta, and definitely Pebble Beach. And for me, this place tops it all.
Gary, you've overcome so much the last couple of years, including the brain surgery that you've had. What's it like for you to have people not come up to you for an autograph or a selfie necessarily, but to come up to you and say, hey, I've been where you've been. You're inspiring me just by playing golf.
It's different, but I tell you what, it means the world. I had somebody come up to me 2 days ago when I was out here putting on the putting green and tell me they had a brain tumor, they had surgery, they don't understand how I'm out here, but it's inspiring. And that, Damon, that means the world to me, because I'm blessed with a lot of support. Obviously, the golf world, my family, my team has been amazing to me and supported me and really helped me get through this last couple of years. But not everybody has that. And for me to be out here and trying to just prove to people that they're not alone in this, that I struggle every day, but I'm out here fighting, chasing my dreams, I hope that gives hope to people that they can get out and follow their dreams no matter the circumstances that they're fighting through.
You know, on that note, you told a pretty emotional story earlier this season at Sony. You mentioned playing with Grayson Murray, final round at Valhalla, and a fan kept yelling his name, Grayson, Grayson, and you guys weren't sure why he was yelling so loudly. What was that interaction all about?
You know, we were playing on Sunday. Grayson was playing beautifully that day. And a fan just kept yelling his name, and we were talking. He was trying to ignore them. And finally, it got to a point where the guy yelled his name so many times, and he turned over, and the guy started crying. And he just wanted to thank Grayson for how open he was about his battles and getting sober, and that through listening to Grayson's story, he's gotten sober, and he started playing golf because of Grayson. It was beautiful to see that Grayson was having a positive impact in people's lives, and that's something I'll never forget.
It really is a great story. Gary, do you find as though golf means less to you after the last couple of years? I know it's still your job, but does it occupy less of your emotional bandwidth than maybe it did before?
I think the one thing I've learned about golf through this is how much I actually love the game. I played a lot of sports growing up, and golf was just something I was good at. I think I loved basketball, and I loved these other sports. When this was almost taken away from me for good, I realized how much I love this game. It's a beautiful game. The golf world is absolutely amazing, from the players to the caddies to the tour staff to the media. Everybody's been so supportive, and you realize that it is a big family out here, and we're out here trying to beat each other week in, week out, but people do care about each other, and that's something that I've really...
Oh, we lost Gary. We'll try to reconnect with him in a few minutes. You know, he's talking about his physical health. He turned 40 years of age last year, and I'll never forget Tiger used to say in the early 2000s, there are going to be some guys coming behind me, physical marvels. And he meant people like Gary Woodland, who was a great basketball player in college, Dustin Johnson as well. And one thing I wanted to ask him was, how did he deal with the fact that his life was and his mortality was really kind of in his face and threatened with this brain issue and surgery that he had? And this was someone who was really almost the picture of athletic prowess and good health.
Yeah, and it was nice to hear him pay testament to the caliber of support that he has around him, both the family, the golf world, the agency that he's with. They all kind of rallied around Gary Woodland when it mattered and kind of cleared the decks for him. And it would be nice to see now Gary get back and focus exactly on what we know and enjoy watching Gary Woodland do, which is tear up golf courses. I mean, when you go back to that US Open, Gary Woodland did something that has only ever been done a few times in the US Open. He shot four rounds in the 60s to win at Pebble Beach. He finished 13 under par in the US Open. Now, you don't see four rounds in the 60s very often, and you don't see double digits under par very often in the US Open. I mean, Tiger was the exception when he was one of 12 under. He won by 15 shots. Yeah. Everyone else in the mortals division was three over par. That was a testament to the caliber of golf that Gary Woodland is capable of playing.
He's also been very open about what it's been like traveling the PGA Tour over this last year, coming back from this issue. It was the fact that he'd be going to a hotel and he'd say, well, this was the bed where I thought I was going to die. Or he'd pull into a parking lot and say, well, this was the store that I was shopping when I was scared for my life. He has gone through a lot, and I believe we're reconnected with Gary now. Gary, we appreciate you joining us once again. And I wanted to ask you about that. You know, you turned 40 years of age this past year. You know, Tiger back in the day would talk about the incredible strength. Did we just lose him again? I think we just lost him again. Unbelievable. Well, that's the live television for you, ladies and gentlemen. But it's going to be interesting for him going forward to not just be the guy that's coming back from injury. He does still want to accomplish great things in this game. And I imagine that's going to be difficult to do when you still have it in the back of your mind that you've had your life in jeopardy.
Yeah, when you talk to people who've gone through very dark periods in terms of their personal health, the putting behind it and moving on and forgetting that it ever happened can be a difficult part of it. When you look at Gary, he's got all the tools in the kit that you'd want to be one of the premier players in the world. Right now, his game hasn't shown it over the last couple of years for obvious reasons, but the worst signs of life towards the end of 2024, he started to have a few consistent top 15, top 20 finishes on tour. So the game is there. Getting the confidence back has got to be something. So a week like this, where Gary goes to somewhere with happy memories, is important. Next week is important. Gary won the WM Phoenix Open back in 2018 as well. So finding the comfort level where the memories are happy and the performance memories are all positive, well, then I think that can only be considered a positive.
Yeah, I believe we have Gary Woodland back with us. We appreciate it. Sorry for the technical difficulty. Speaking of difficulty, you turned 40, man. You're talking to two guys that are north of 50. What do you want out of this next chapter of your life and career?
I tell you what, I truly believe I got a second chance at this, but I believe my best golf's ahead of me. I think from a physical golf standpoint, my game's in a better place right now than it was in 2019. And I heard you guys just talking a second ago. It's a confidence. It's regaining that confidence. Obviously, I've had a lot of scar tissue. one in my brain and on the golf course over the last couple of years. So it's just getting that good energy and good vibes back, because physically I can hit any shot. And I'm back with Randy Smith, who was a big part of my life for a long time, and it's nice having his voice back in my head to give myself some of that confidence again. And I'm starting to see signs. I've played a lot better over the last couple of tournaments that I've been in. I had a good start at Sony, and it's something that I'm looking forward to, because I think I have big, big, great things ahead of me, and it's something I'm really looking forward to.
When you show up at a place like Pebble this week, Gary, or even Phoenix next week, where you've also won, do you find yourself thinking back to what you did well on those particular weeks where you came away with a trophy, and where that headroom is this week in terms of what you need to do better than maybe you have been doing?
I think it's the peace that I had those weeks. My caddies talked about how peaceful I was that week at U.S. Open here in 2019, that nothing bothered me. And I don't know if I was taking in the beauty of Pebble Beach, but I wasn't focused on anything outside of what was right in front of me. And I think that's what I can take back. Obviously, I hit a lot of good golf shots, but I do that a lot of weeks. But it's that peace and being able to move on and be able to stay in the moment. That's what I'm striving to get back to, because that's something I did that week at Pebble Beach when I won in 19. And I think most great golfers do. They're able to move on and focus on what's in front of them and not get caught up with what's around them when they're playing great.
You know, Tiger said back in the 2000s there'd be guys like you and DJ and Tony Finau populating professional golf in the modern era. I remember you outdriving Nicholas Kolsarts in a driving range long drive contest at Nota Begay's charity event many years ago. You've always been the picture of health and robustness, Gary. How difficult was it to see yourself as so vulnerable as you were?
It's tough, right? You know, like I said, I was 40 years old. It's just, you don't expect that. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm chasing my dreams on the PGA Tour, and then you get blindsided by something that's out of your control. It's been nice to start to get back. You know, the health was a big deal. I probably should not have played golf on the PGA Tour last year from a results standpoint, but I learned so much about it. I learned what I need to do to stay healthy, what doesn't help me, what hurts me when I'm playing out there, what I need to do before and after a round. I learned a lot. So I think I'm in a better position this year to be out and be successful based off what I learned last year. So, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I think I was third last year. I'm 40 years old. I think I was third in speed. I still have a lot of speed. I still have a lot of fight. And I'm learning a lot out here, too. So I'm excited for a big year ahead.
And it's also kind of tougher to be successful on tour these days, Gary, with smaller fields. It's tougher to access some tournaments. There are fewer cards available at the end of the year. Are you a fan of what you see in terms of those changes on the PGA Tour?
It's tough, right? But we're in an age right now where the game's changing and evolving. I think time will tell. I hope it's for the good. But coming from where I came from, it is tough. You know, there's a lot of tournaments that I'm not in. I'm blessed this week that AT&T and the Pebble Beach Foundation thought enough of me to give me an exemption this week to play, and it's something I need to take advantage of, because I'd like to play my way into tournaments. I want to play my way back to the top tier of this PGA Tour in the golf world. It's something I believe I can do, but it is that old saying, you play well takes care of itself, and that's one where I'm trying to focus on myself. I can't get focused on what I'm in, what I'm not in. I got to make sure I take care of myself and get myself the best position each week to play well, and I believe if I do that, good things will happen.
Well, Gary, it's great to see you healthy and back to one of your favorite spots in the game. Best of luck this week, and thanks so much for joining us.
You guys are awesome. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.
There he is, 2019 U.S. Open champ at Pebble, Gary Woodland. The Golf Today rolls on. We're heading back down to Orlando, not for the PGA show. That was last week, the LPGA Tour season kickoff, with the Tournament of Champions, world number one Nelly, coming off a 7-win season in 2024. Does she have what it takes to do it in 2025? Back on Golf Today, while the Farmers Insurance Open concluded on Saturday. On Sunday, the APGA Tour hosted the Farmers Insurance Invitational on the South Course. APGA Tour's mission is to provide African-American golfers and golfers of diverse backgrounds opportunities to succeed in professional golf. How about this? In his first tournament on the APGA Tour, 23-year-old Kieran Van Veek made history. College of Charleston senior, that's right, an amateur, captured the title in the Farmers Insurance Invitational, and with the win became the first AM to win an APGA Tour event since the tour began in the year 2010. Look at this growing resume. 23 years of age, senior at COC, three-time first-team All-CAA, and two-time CAA Golfer of the Year. Also made the cut and finished tied for 55th last year in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship on the DP World Tour. And great to have Kieran with us on this Tuesday. Couple days to reflect, Kieran. What are you most proud of and how you handled your business at Torrey Pines South?
Yeah, I was very proud of the way I played and how I was able to do coming down the stretch. It was quite nerve-wracking. I might have not showed it, but I felt pretty comfortable all day and trusted my game.
Kieran, you had never seen the South Course at Torrey Pines before you played it and won on it. Did you go back and watch video of old tournaments, or you played it on a video game, or was this literally just the first time you'd ever experienced it?
I'm pretty sure I've played it on the Tiger Woods video game, but that was a lot longer, or like a few years back. But I was able to watch a couple holes in the final round of the Farmers Insurance Open. And I did watch a few clips on YouTube of John Rahm winning at Torrey Pines in 2018, the US Open. Ended up falling asleep while watching that, so didn't get the last few holes in, but yeah.
Well, you clearly learned and watched it just enough. I'm curious about not just the game plan, but also the personality that you bring to the golf course. You know, I called the playoff and called it for Golf Channel, and I was watching the way you would hit shots, and you kind of marched toward the hole, especially the par 5, 18th, spinning your club. Just tell us about kind of your mindset and mentality. You were extremely aggressive and confident.
Yeah, so I knew I had the one-shot lead, obviously, and I just thought to myself, I was aiming a touch right of the flag on my approach shot in regulation, but I also knew that I had quite a bit of adrenaline pumping. The wind was helping a bit, so I took a club less and just had a go at it, and it worked out. I never intended to club tool and walk after it like that. It just all kind of came in the moment, but it looked pretty cool, so I was happy about that too.
Most people who do a job well are accustomed to getting paid at the end of it. Kieran, you did the job better than anybody else. Was it tough to leave that $30,000 winner's check on the table for someone else?
Yeah, a little bit. But most importantly, I was just happy to win the golf tournament and get it done in the way that I did. I must say, I impressed myself too in those playoff holes. And yeah, I was happy to beat the pros.
Well, speaking of pros, I read you grew up liking Tiger and Ernie Els, and you got a chance to speak to the Big Easy when you were a younger person. Any advice, tidbits, knowledge that he shared with you that has helped you so far in your young career?
Yeah, my older brother was part of the Ernie Els Foundation, and when I was younger, I would go out and support him. And one day they had an invitational, and I was able to meet Ernie Els himself, walked a couple of holes with him, and at the tender age, I think I was 12 years old, he told me just to consistently work hard and always work on my short game. And it's paid its dues. It's one of my strengths of my game, and yeah, it's really helped me.
How important is the APGA in terms of your development and of getting that competitive edge as you work your way towards the professional game, Kieran? Would it be a lot more difficult if that pathway wasn't there to provide you with the opportunity to test yourself as you did at Torrey Pines?
Yeah, for sure. I think the APGA presents itself as a competitive tour. The players that are playing on it, you got Willie Mack, who just played in the Farmers Insurance, which is one of the guys that's up there, and Chase Johnson, who was in the playoff with me. So these are all guys that you'd like to see yourself compete against. And yeah, I think it just provides opportunities for myself and, you know, for other non-white professionals out there.
There have been South Africans who've played very well at Torrey Pines. Some Aussies have played very well at Torrey Pines. Was there something familiar to you, the grasses, the trees, the contours of the greens, that maybe reminded you of something you played back home?
Not quite. There is a spot back home called Pinnacle Point, of which is quite scenic and it's got all the cliffs, which looks similar to Torrey Pines, which I was enjoying out there whilst I was playing. But the grass is very different to what I grew up on, different to what we play out here in the East. So it was quite an adjustment, but I told myself if I can keep my ball on the short grass and stay out of the rough, then I should be good.
That's a good rule to have on any golf course out there, I guess. When you've achieved something of this magnitude, and it's not even the end of January yet, Kieran, what does that do to reset your goals for later in 2025?
Yeah, it's a good confidence booster for me as I start my year. I didn't have any expectation of truly winning, to be honest, but I'm happy to have got it done. And yeah, I think I just need to go back to the basics. I always say that I like to keep it simple and go back to the foundations that got me thus far. And I have a college event starting on Monday, so back tomorrow, starting up my practice again. And yeah, as I said, just going back to my foundations, keeping it simple, and going from there.
You know, I'm no golf scout, but I would buy stock in Kieran van Wijk. What do you want out of this game? The way you walk, the way you hit the ball, their length off the tee was phenomenal to watch this weekend. But what do you want out of golf going forward?
To be the best player in the world. It would be definitely hard to surpass the likes of Tiger Woods and Ernie Els, but I would like to aspire to be one of the greats of the game one day.
Well, you are off to a great start making history in San Diego. Congratulations, and thank you for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Well, here are some of the upcoming starts on the APGA Tour. TPC Sawgrass in just a few weeks for the Cisco Black History Month Classic, and that's followed by stops in San Antonio, Texas, Mobile, Alabama, Port St. Lucie, Florida. We'll be right back. Rory McIlroy back in America and back on green grass. After a losing night in the simulator at TGL, he's made his way cross-country to Pebble Beach, where he's making his 2025 PGA Tour debut. We'll have the latest on the world number three, looking for a statement start. Well, one win at Pebble Beach can make a career, but how about two in one year, and one of them a major by 15 shots? You know the season and the player, Tiger in 2000. A special look back coming up as Golf Today rolls on.
Golf Today.
Well, it's been almost 150 days since we saw this, Damon. Scottie Scheffler, the world number one on the course in a practice round in an official PGA Tour event. Here he is out at Pebble Beach.
Good to see him with golf clubs in his hand. There was a time when the world number one would be driving up to a golf course. I'm talking about Tiger Woods, or playing a practice round. We'd have a camera on him. I think Scottie is working his way to warrant that attention and that coverage, especially coming off this injury. You hear golfers talk about their hands and how important their hands are to what they do and the way they go about their business. Tiger famously, after his car accident, was more worried about his hands. How are my hands? Where are my hands? You hear golfers say, I'm not putting sunscreen on before a round of golf. I got to do it an hour or 2 hours before because I need to have that feel in my fingers and my hands. So I think similarly for Scottie, there'll be a lot of intrigue and interest in how he handles this comeback from this Christmas mishap. And I'm not going to bet against him considering how he's shown resiliency throughout his young career.
Well, that practice shot was a slumping shot by Scottie Scheffler's standards. He only got that one to about 10 feet. But this is also a sign, just what you see out here, there's a lot of attention on Scottie this week, but it's a sign of how simple he keeps it, because the only two people out there in his party, other than the media following him, are his caddy, Ted Scott, and his manager, Blake Smith. And to me, that's a sign of how streamlined Scottie Scheffler keeps his professional existence. And, you know, he's not the only one getting attention this week. Obviously, Rory McIlroy making a season debut, Jordan Spieth coming back as well, Justin Thomas making a sort of an early statement this season. Wyndham Clark, the defending champion, has shot 60 out here to win the range shortened AT&T last year. So there's a lot of guys worthy of attention this week. But right now, Scotty's the guy getting the most for obvious reasons when you come off the season that he has.
He is, and that's why I started this show by saying, you know, what a gift this week is to professional golf to have these players at this venue in particular. You know, for a lot of sports fans and golf fans, you know, Pebble Beach means the beginning of the season as we watch the world number one play his 18-hole
practice round. It's nice of him to drop a ball over there where you and I would be playing from.
Yeah, this is great to just see him out there. And we did see him looking at his hand a little bit earlier. It's hard to know, you know, what that meant. But I tell you what, it's good to have him back inside the ropes.
It really is. Welcome back into the studio. I'm Eamon Lynch alongside Damon Hack for Hour 2 of Golf Today. What's a reasonable expectation for Scotty Scheffler this year? Leaving aside the injury, which Scotty hasn't suggested that it's anything long-term, as a mishap, to use your word, how tough is it going to be to level up to what he set last year in terms of the bar of his own expectations?
I think it's impossible. I think he's going to win.
Well, then what is possible, I guess?
What's possible? I'd say a few wins, maybe 3 wins this season.
So a career for anybody else,
I mean,
is possible.
I think so. I mean, listen, what happened last year, I don't think it's going to happen this year for a number of reasons. One, I think the players are awake. I think they know that they are dealing with someone who is extra special, and I imagine them to raise their game. I'm expecting a lot out of Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, players who have high expectations themselves and who have been at or near the top of the official world golf ranking. You know, Morikawa seems to be a player trending in the right direction.
You sense Scotty and what Scotty did last year has lit a fire under the backsides of those guys?
It better have. They wouldn't be who they are without them having a bit of sleepless nights because of what's happened. You know, nobody wants to be celebrating another guy. When Tiger was stomping on players, I'll never forget, this was in late 90s, Justin Leonard had played a great round of golf himself, and some reporter said, you know, asking about Tiger Woods, and Justin, you know, he said, what's the toughest thing about, you know, having to play alongside Tiger Woods? And Justin said, it's being asked about his round when I shot 65. I mean, no one wants to celebrate. You know, listen, they're good guys. They team up in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, but they are competitors, and they are selfish in a good way. And they don't want to watch Scottie Scheffler hoisting another 9 trophies around the world in 2025.
You even got to figure, what is it like for Rory McIlroy? Because for the last number of years, when he wasn't number one in the world, he was generally considered number two in the world. Well, now he's very clearly number three in the world. When Xander Schauffele gets a couple of major championships, and he's still a mile behind Scotty Scheffler in terms of the world ranking. For guys like Rory McIlroy and below, they're now in a different category. I mean, Scotty's in his own category. Yeah. Xander, after last year, is pretty close to getting in his own category again. Even a win this week wouldn't get Rory McIlroy to number two. It'd get him a lot closer, but not quite get him there. So it does feel as though Scotty has distanced himself. These guys are going to have to work really hard if they're going to get anywhere close to him, given how much he's kind of put a lot of leeway between him and them.
Yeah, I put the onus squarely on Rory McIlroy's shoulders. He's the one that mid-2010s was saying,
he's not carrying enough burden.
I mean, he is. He doesn't care what I think, but this is a player who has said the game needs a dominant player. This was, you know, we're talking about nearly a decade ago.
I don't think he meant somebody else, though.
I don't think he did either. I think he meant himself, and I think if we trust what Brad Faxon had to say when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, that everything seems to be in working order for the 4-time major champ to add a 5th major in 2025.
But this is also a difficult golf course for a lot of guys to make a statement on. I mean, Jack Nicklaus once told a friend of mine that it was the easiest course to win a U.S. Open on at Pebble Beach, because all of the greens are so small, if you just aimed for the center of every green, your worst-case scenario was a 15-footer in any direction for birdie. It's a lot easier said than done, and you kind of got to hit your irons like Jack Nicklaus did. But one guy who does kind of hit his irons like Jack Nicklaus is a Scotty Scheffler. But it is not an easy golf course for a lot of these guys to actually play. The Poana kind of gets them on the West Coast early in the year, kind of trying to shake off that rust by the time they then start to move east for the bigger events. But a guy like Scotty, it's how much rust do you think is going to be a factor? Because he's not exactly known for sort of racking up the West Coast victories anyway.
I feel like it's going to be short-lived. The way he closed 2024, new putting stroke out at DeHero, and he ends up winning anyway. I think we'll look back and say, you know what, Scotty was Scotty, but I don't expect 7 PGA Tour wins. I think 3 or 4 wins would be a fantastic follow-up to an already historic run that he's been on.
Well, there you go, Scotty. You're only half the player this year that you were last year, according to Damon. Well, a lot has changed out there at Pebble Beach. So with more on this week's signature event, we welcome in Todd Lewis from Pebble.
Yeah, hi there, guys. That was a great conversation you were having. I'm not going to discount Xander Schauffele in 2025 as well. And Damon, way to poke the bear in Scotty Scheffler and firing him up. But he did look good as I watched him during his warm-up session here, going out now playing his practice round. And this is a big week for not only Scotty Scheffler, but every player in the field, because this is a signature event, the second of 8 signature events on the PGA Tour schedule. And for players, yes, there is a top tier of events that they would like to win. Of course, the majors, the players, the FedEx Cup. But just underneath that tier is winning a signature event. You win a signature event, you're going to get $4 million. You're going to get 700 FedEx Cup points, which is obviously a big piece of currency on this stage as well. As a matter of fact, every player who won a signature event last year, now Scotty Scheffler won 4 of them, but the other 4 players, all of them made it to the Tour Championship in 2024. So you come out here, you have success, you win this tournament, then you are speeding on the highway to Eastlake. And if you make it to the Tour Championship, it gives you some opportunities to play in major championships the following year as well. This is also a big week for the PGA Tour. The Tour is not competing against the NFL this week. We're at an historic, beautiful place here at Pebble Beach. And you mentioned the stars are here. Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Scotty Scheffler all making their PGA Tour debut. So this is a great opportunity with this canvas here at Pebble Beach, with the stars that are in this field, for the Tour to grab a foundational audience for 2025. So this is a big, big week.
About Rory making that PGA Tour debut this week, at least non-TGL, what can you tell us about his schedule coming up?
Well, Rory just landed here on Pebble Beach about 45 minutes ago. Of course, he played his TGL match, which he and his Boston buddies lost to Tiger and Jupiter Links. But he flew early this morning from his home in South Florida and arrived here in California. He's going to be speaking to the media in about 45 minutes to talk about what he hopes to happen this week, and that is to have better success than he's had in years here. This is only his 3rd appearance. The first time he played here was in 2018. He played alongside his dad in the Pro-Am, and he missed the cut. Now, last year, he teamed up with his Pro-Am partner, Jeff Rhodes, and they won the Pro-Am division, but individually, Rory finished tied for 66. So he has not played very well here at Pebble Beach in his previous 2 appearances, but if you look at the fact that he seems to have less complexity in his life on and off the golf course, of course, he was distracted primarily by what has been going on with the relationship between the PGA Tour and the negotiations with the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. That seems to be progressing. So I get the sense that he has a simpler life right now. There's not as much clutter in his mind, and he's talked about how he understands that he wants to win a lot more on the PGA Tour and obviously collect a major championship. If he comes here and does something that he hasn't done in his previous 2 appearances, and that is play very well at Pebble Beach, then again, that would maybe lay the groundwork for what could be a very successful 2025.
Well, this week the LPGA Tour begins its 2025 season, featuring tournament winners from the last 2 years and a celebrity championship. That's at Lake Nona in Orlando. Coverage of the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions begins Thursday, 11:30 a.m. on Golf Channel.
Strong field, some notables: Brooke Henderson, Allison Corpuz, Jin Young Ko, Lydia Ko, Nelly Korda, Rose Zhang, Stanford alum in the field. And Lydia, by the way, defending champ. And always a part of this great tournament, celebrities. The Raiders, Marcus Allen.
Kira Dixon going up against Annika Sorenstam. I'm here for that.
And Marty Fish, who's the best American tennis player, going to join us, I believe, tomorrow on Golf Today. And always great to have Amy Rogers with us, joining us again from Lake Nona Golf and Country Club. Amy, what can you tell us about this week's season opening event? You got great players and great celebs as well.
Hey guys, yeah, and a lot of firsts for this Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions. It's not only the first event of the LPGA season, but it's enjoying a slightly new slot on the schedule, pushed back just a few weeks from when it was originally scheduled last year, and its former spot in the schedule in mid-January. And this move to the end of January comes as a welcome one. I spoke with Tournament Director Aaron Stewart, who said the LPGA was the ones that initiated this move. They said they wanted to have a little bit more off time for the players between the end of the 2024 and 2025 season. And he said it's been a welcome change for everyone. We're also seeing much warmer temperatures with it being just a little bit later in the month. And it's also opened up the possibility for some new celebrities to be able to compete here, like some players from the NFL with the playoffs and wrapping up. It's just opened up some new possibilities. Now, there are quite a few new celebrities that are in the field here this week, including actors Don Cheadle and Anthony Anderson, the NBA's Blake Griffin and J.R. Smith. And I asked Stewart how they went about attracting these new celebrities. And he said, really, it's been word of mouth. Some of the other celebrities that they have played with in other events have simply spread the word about how much they have enjoyed their experience and have been clamoring to get out here to be able to tee it up alongside these players from the LPGA. Now, I also spoke with Stewart about the setup for the players this week. 2 years ago, the tournament came under a little bit of heat for some issues involving the locker room setup, not having proper facilities or lockers available for the LPGA players and female celebrities here in the field. Now, Stewart tells me they'll again be bringing in lockers from the outside, but there's currently a construction project underway here at Lake Nona Golf and Country Club. And Stewart tells me upon its completion, it will be an all-new dedicated space just for the LPGA players and female celebrities that will be competing in this event. And that new facility will be available to them beginning in 2026. So this is a huge investment in this tournament and its infrastructure, and a welcome one given this tournament signed recently a 5-year extension. Guys?
Big step forward for the LPGA and Lake Nona as well. Terrific reporting from Amy Rogers in Orlando, Florida.
The West Coast Swing continues this week at iconic Pebble Beach Golf Links. You can catch live first-round coverage of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am on Golf Channel. That begins Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, someone who has seen much success at Pebble is Nicole Inyakov, representing the first tee, Monterey County. She was paired with Ernie Els in the 2024 Pure Insurance Championship, took home the junior title, high school senior, captain of the golf team. First tee success story. He'll be playing golf next year at Harvard. Quite impressive. Also impressive, this flashback to last year's win at Pebble. This was the highlight of the year. The par 3 17th, an ace that propelled Nicole and Ernie Els to victory. Hand over heart indeed. Incredible stuff last fall at Pebble. Great to have Nicole with us. Let's go back to that hole in one, that ace we just saw. What was going through your mind the entire process from when you hit the shot to when you found out that you made a hole in one?
It was just pure sheer happiness and joy. I mean, I rewatched that video on a near to daily basis, trying to relive that moment. I wouldn't trade that moment for the world.
That's a pretty tough story to top from this point on. Nicole, is golf an ambition of yours, or is it just been a way to kind of acquire life skills through the first tee to this point?
It's been both. I mean, it started as just building the foundation of me as a human with the first tee and through their core values. And that's something they do so well. I mean, each person is instilled with core values that they take on and are able to build off of it as they go on through life. But on top of that, golf comes into play. And I fell in love with golf extremely quickly at the first tee. So my two kind of best interests came together and propelled me to where I am now.
Well, you've also given back quite a bit to the community. I read that in 2023, you had more than 100 hours of community service. You also have a golf tournament that helps lower the cost for entry fees for junior golfers. Where does that urge to give back come from?
From everything the first tee gave to me. I really wouldn't be here without the first tee and the amazing network of support at the first tee. So they really started my life for me, and what's better than to give back?
You're a junior coach at the first tee of Monterey County. What lessons are you trying to give back to the kids specifically that you yourself received?
Just continue to work hard and pay it forward. You know, every time you can give something back, give it back. And you'll feel so much more fulfilled as a person and as a junior golfer.
You live in one of the dream parts of the world if you love the game of golf. How often are you able to kind of sneak down to Spanish Bay or MPCC or Pebble and chase the sunset and do what anybody who loves this game would hope to do?
I've been playing Spanish Bay pretty recently because my youth on course is coming to an end, so I've been trying to play every single course that I can. And really, it has been chasing sunsets. It's extremely beautiful there, and I'm blessed to have grown up in such a beautiful area.
You are going to college at Harvard, one of the many schools that rejected Damon many, many years ago. I know you're going to play golf there. What are you planning to study?
I'm planning to major in government and then minor in either economics, finance, or psychology.
I still remember my rejection letter from Harvard. What was the process like, the application? You know, back in the day, they'd send you an envelope. The big envelope meant you got in. The small envelope meant you didn't. Is it an email now? What's that process like in the modern day?
It is an email. So I was actually on the golf course when I got the email, and my parents FaceTimed me with their camera pointed to the email. And it was a moment, again, I'll never forget. That's Harvard has been a dream of mine since I can really remember myself. And at that moment, it happened, and so grateful.
You're kind of racking up a lot of dreams at an early age here. You talked about what the first tee has given you. What would you tell other kids out there who are thinking about whether or not the first tee is right for them?
Just try it. There's nothing that can go wrong by just trying, and I have no doubt in my mind that every single participant will fall in love with the program and fall in love with the values and golf in that matter.
Well, Nicole, congratulations on getting into Harvard, and you're a friend of the program. This is multiple times we've interviewed you now, so best of luck going forward, and thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Speaking of the Monterey Peninsula, coming up next, we head into the media center as Rory makes his PGA Tour debut this week at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Stay tuned. Back on golf today. Last night, Rory McIlroy made his TGL debut in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. His Boston Common squad, though, lost to Tiger's Jupiter Lynx in overtime. Seemed to have a lot of fun, though. Making the trip from South Florida to Pebble Beach, where he makes his 2025 PGA Tour debut. Let's look at how Rory has done in his PGA Tour season debuts in the past. He's a T3 at the 2020 Farmers. This is a calendar year start. Top 10 at the Genesis in 2022 as well. Hoping for a hot start, maybe even a victory. Aiming for the 35-year-old Northern Irishman, I feel like this is a critical year for him. Would you agree?
Well, every year feels like a critical year for Rory, particularly the last 10 that he's gone without a major championship. But he said himself just in the last few days that he really has three goals left in his career, one of which is winning a green jacket, one of which is winning an Olympic medal, and winning an away Ryder Cup, which he's already done. The Ryder Cup where he famously barely showed up in time for his singles match. That was back in Medina in 2012. But obviously the biggest one of those and the toughest one in some ways is the Masters. Although, you know, the Olympic medal opportunity only comes around every 4 years. And that's been a sea change from Rory McIlroy. Because of all of the national identity questions that he had from Northern Ireland for so long, it wasn't kind of a tournament that he really embraced. You can see over the last couple of Olympiad, he really has embraced.
What does Rory McIlroy think? We set it out to Pebble Beach. Rory is with the media.
We'd like to welcome Rory McIlroy into the interview room, making his season debut on the PGA Tour and his third start at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Rory, welcome back to Pebble Beach. If we can get some comments on being here.
Yeah, excited to be back on the PGA Tour. It's been a while. The Tour Championship in Atlanta feels like a long time ago, which it was. So still been playing quite a bit of golf in that period, just not over here. So Yeah, good to be back. You know, we've got a pretty, you know, busy schedule coming up here with, you know, a couple on the West Coast and then getting into Florida, obviously run up to the Masters. So, you know, looking forward to getting going on this side of the pond.
T66 here last year, but you and Jeff Rhodes teamed up to win the Pro-Am portion. So you have that going for you.
Yeah, I got my name on the wall, just not the portion that I wanted. But yeah, Jeff and I had a good time over 36, and he obviously did most of the heavy lifting in those 2 days. And yeah, it was a bit of a weird week last week with the weather on Sunday and not being able to finish. So the forecast looks a bit better this week. So, you know, it's shaping up to be a good one.
All right, we'll get started with questions. If you'll raise your hand, we'll start with Doug.
A couple of interviews over on the other side about kind of a pivotal year for you, expectations, goals, whatever you want to frame it. Do you see this as a pivotal year, and if so, why? What makes it that?
I think every year is a pivotal year. Every year is important. I think there's a couple of things this year that make it maybe a little more so for me. The Open goes back to Portrush, you know, so playing a major championship pretty much at home is a big thing. And then playing an away Ryder Cup for me is, you know, I've alluded to this a lot, but, you know, I feel like winning an away Ryder Cup is one of the toughest things to do in golf at the minute. And obviously the Europeans have an opportunity to do that, which would be really cool.
All right, Dave.
Can you give us the timeline of TGL last night to getting here? What did you do?
Yeah, so I probably got out of the arena about 9:30 last night. Got home at 9:35. It's not much of a commute. Was in bed for 10. Woke up this morning at 5. Took off at 7. Landed here at 9:30. And here I am.
Okay, that didn't sound too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Not too bad.
TGL, are you guys comfortable with how that is developing as far as the accuracy of the shots that you're playing with the simulator? And are bunker shots what you would expect they should be?
Yeah, so tech-wise and numbers-wise, look, I've had the same concerns, I guess, just from, you know, I hadn't obviously played a match, but I went in there on Wednesday and I brought two other launch monitors with me. I brought my GC Quad, I brought my TrackMan, and obviously hitting balls into the screen, and every number was virtually identical, you know, so I that put my concerns to bed, which was really good. I hit balls in there for 90 minutes. I think the big thing for us is, like, you're hitting into a screen. It's obviously a big screen, but when you're playing outside, you've got some sort of connection to the target, right? You've got, you know, this is what we grew up doing. This is what we know. So when you get in there, it's very difficult or hard to be like, okay, I'm going to aim, you know, on the right half of the screen or the left half of the screen and trust that it's actually going to do what you want it to do. But that was, you know, Adam was in there for the first time on Saturday, and I was in there with him. And, you know, I said, like, you have to really try to treat this as if you're playing outside, because you hit it on that right half of the screen and try to hit a draw, like, it will come back. If you hit a fade on the left side of the screen, and, you know, it will come back. It's just getting more reps in there to familiarize yourself and trust it, I think, is the big thing. And the more and more that we play in there, the more we're going to get used to it and be comfortable.
Bunker shots are,
So in the arena, as the night goes on and, like, say the humidity drops in there, you know, they have to water the sand quite a lot to keep the moisture in it, to keep it. So, like, they only, you know, they get to water it before the game is played, but then once we get in there, it starts to dry up. So the bunker shot that I hit last night, yeah, it felt like my club was going through flour instead of going through sand. So, look, these are all the things that, you know, you you learn on the fly, and like this is a startup. It's 4 weeks old, you know. So yeah, we've had time to prepare, and we've done everything we can. But you know, it's a learning process as we go along, and you know, I think each and every week it's got a little better. And I, you know, obviously think last night was the best one so far, and you know, hopefully we just, you know, keep improving as we go on.
All right, let's go Ron in the middle, and then Sean.
Two questions.
You can hear more from Rory, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Golf Central. The big boys have come to play. Scotty's back. Rory's in town. Jordan Spieth, Nelly on the tee in Orlando.
No excuses anymore. All the big guns have come out to play. Time. Yes. You don't need motivated, and there should be no excuse for slow play.
No excuses. None at this desk anyway. Enjoy your Tuesday. Enjoy Golf Central. We'll see you tomorrow.